can't take away what the Lord has given me. It's been tried by fire, it's been shook like a tree.
Appreciated our young ones singing tonight. Didn't they do good? Oh, it's great when they start out this young singing, then they don't have a fear of it. The older they get and they just keep working in the house of God. So I'm excited. They did a good job on that. So yay. This may be a new chorus to y'all. I've asked some of the sisters over here before if they have heard it, and they haven't. So maybe this is kind of a good night to do something new, maybe. So hope you like it. Yes, should be up there.
Why don't you get up and walk around? Clap your hands, make a joyful sound. Has Jesus done anything for you? He took you out of the world of sin, placed the Holy Ghost within. So get up and walk around for Him. Done anything for you? He took you out of the world.
Smith, and I'm thankful for this church.
Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for our young people. I listened to Sister Jody. She was encouraging them, starting so young. That'll help them a long ways in life. I remember being, a young child growing up, and that was one of the things that followed me through my life, is getting embarrassed when you stand up before people. That hindered me most of my life. And so I encourage you young kids, when you're children, when you get an opportunity, stand before God's people and give your testimony or whatever. I remember, I'm not a great singer, but I could sing a little bit. And I was singing with this little, which wasn't church music, the world of music. But anyway, I was singing with these guys and this boy, he was supposed to be my best friend. But anyway, he laughed at me. He didn't know how much that affected me. But anyway, he laughed at me. And I quit singing. But all the way through my teenage life, even in the military, I could go to one of the tales about some of that too. But, stage fright is something that will go with you all your life if you let it. And I had trouble with it. So if I can encourage our young people that whatever you need to do is in front of people, especially God's people here, people here, they want to help you. They're not going to laugh at you. But, out there in the world, we were just thinking about, this world not going to give you a whole lot. They'll give you a lot of trouble, what they'll do. But people, God's people will help you. And I can tell you that. I remember one time, even here at the church, we were singing in the choir, and Brother Velez was wanting to, I don't remember what song it was, but anyway, it was a song he wanted me to sing a verse on it. And I just basically froze up, just the thought of it, about killed me. So anyway, like I say, it has plagued me all my life. So if there's anything I can do to help you as young people, it don't have to be singing, just talking. I mean, it's a real deal. I'm telling you, you can get froze up, and you can get to the point you can't speak before people. I'm not saying I'm a good speaker, but that really doesn't bother me anymore. Even I, went to college a couple of years, and one of the, I think it was English class, we had to do a speech. We had to write a speech and give it. This is in college now. Of course, I made it. I got through it. I got a little better. But I'm just telling you, if there's anything you can do, I don't know if stage fright could keep you from making a bride. You think it could? If it can, I want to help you to do whatever it takes to get rid of it. Because it has plagued me all my life. I'm just telling you. I'm not saying I'm a total, complete overcomer in that area. But God has helped me. I don't get, like I say, you can get, it affects you physically to where you can't hardly talk. I'm just telling you, it's a real deal. So if we can help one another, if we can help our children, Sister Jody, I appreciate you saying that, because because I just remember myself. And I was in and out of church. I didn't just stay in church, but I guess just over the years, you know, I got to where I could handle some of it. But a lot of these things in life, you know, I don't know. It could hinder you from serving God. I don't know. I wouldn't want to let things that just little things, you know, hinder me. They sing a song that says, "Nothing here. Don't want nothing here." That's it. I don't want nothing here to hinder me. So that means evidently some things could hinder you from serving God. You know, I don't know if you can have it so bad to where you might not make the bride. So I don't know. I don't want to put that kind of fear in you, but whatever you can do to help yourself, you know, because I know people around here, they want to help you. I've been around places where I don't know, I wasn't sure they would help me or not, but here I believe they want to help you, and they're here for your good. So I'm thankful tonight we're among people that want to go on with God. I appreciate everything, the service today, and Brother Mike's thoughts starting out, and Brother Jeff's words and message, helping us to, you know, to work for God. We need to learn how to be better servants. That's what we are. You know, the bottom line I was getting from Brother Jeff, what he was saying, you know, that is to be able to be servants. You know, we don't be rich in our own spirit, but we'll eventually realize that we're just servants. If we can realize we're just servants in the kingdom of God, if we can just be a doorkeeper, you know, I mean, just to work for God, you know, that's the bottom line, no matter what it is. If we can just have that attitude, if I can just get in the kingdom of God, you know, I mean, in the eternal kingdom, I feel like we're in the present kingdom of God as it is, as we know it, but we want to eternally be with God. And if we can just get in anyhow, you know, doorkeeper or whatever, a servant, we'll be doing good. So it's good to get another start here tonight to worship God and to be able to walk around or whatever we need to do to express our thankfulness to God for dealing with our lives and giving us such an opportunity to serve Him. I was blessed yesterday. We went to Batesville today, had a fellowship meeting. Had the privilege of driving Brother and Sister Crow and fellowshipping with them up there and back, and had a good meeting. And there again, you know, with God's people, I got to visit and fellowship Brother McGowan and Brother Paul McGowan. I think that was a blessing to be able to be with God's people. And that's what I counted, you know, I count my blessings all the time, you know, just to be a part of what God is doing. And, you know, sometimes we have to you know, sometimes I have to light a fire under myself to get, you know, to get after it, you know, because I know we're going to have to be diligent servants in the kingdom of God. We can't be lackadaisical about serving God. You know, I might tell you that I'm doing all that I know to do, and I could be doing all I know to do, but then I could not be doing all that I know to do. So I don't want to deceive myself by saying that, but I do want to do all that I know to do. I do want to do that, but I don't want to just say that I am and maybe I'm not. So I need to be diligent about the things of God. And I know in this service tonight, you can be conscious of what's, you know, taking place, and you can kind of float through it and not be conscious of everything that's going on. I'm talking to myself. I've done that. And, you know, the real test of whether you're conscious of what's going on or not is if like tomorrow morning or sometime tomorrow somebody asks you what service was about last night. That has happened to me, and I didn't know it just caught me off guard. I was here in the service, and I thought I was paying attention. I heard what was said, what was done. But when this person asked me about what last night's service all about, and I couldn't. He just slapped me. I couldn't even think. I couldn't even think of anything, about the service. And I was here. But anyway, that's scary. I'm telling you, that's scary. But, what happens, eventually, you'll think of something later on. But I'm just saying right then, you're talking to somebody, and they want to hear, they want to know what was the service about, And it's embarrassing and everything. But that's the true test, whether, you're paying attention or if you're, listening, listen to what's going on, and it could happen to you. But God is good to us. It's good to have our young people. I just appreciate our young people and the emphasis Brother Smith is putting on there, because they are the future, and we want them to do better than we've done. I've been in this church a long time, and I don't want them to look like I look back the last 30 years or whatever and think, I could have done better. I could have made better progress. I want them to make better progress. I want them to advance in the Lord more than I've done. I appreciate what I've heard and what I've learned, and appreciate the things of God that I've been able to incorporate in my life, and let it what Brother Smith was teaching us about, let it when we chew the cud and let it become part of us. I know that does help. I'm telling you, it does help to be able to rethink and to meditate on what you've heard. To go over it again, it does help. To get it in, to get it so it'll become part of me. I don't want to just to have a collection of thoughts and ideas that on paper. I got a lot of that at home. I got a lot of notes that I've written from different ministers, different services that I've been in, tapes and videos, everything. We got all that at home. But I want to, the thing that I get from God, from these services, is to become part of me. To where I have it, it doesn't have to be on paper, but I can have it to where I can recall, in my mind, the things that God, that I've heard. I think about the great Bible we get to read and have a part. People wrote it down, or they had a pretty good, just think about the accounts of the Bible, where Jesus was here on the earth and his disciples were with him. And I don't believe they walk around with a pencil and paper every day listening to him talk. But somehow they were able to grasp what he was saying enough to where either later on in life they were able to write it down. And I look at that and I think about, like I say, just one service that we have here. I'm saying it because I've had trouble, and if I can just keep that in my heart long enough, if I have to write it down later. But we read the Bible, somebody had enough time and patience to write it down. Sometimes there may be some discrepancies with the number of how many it was, like it was one man at the tomb, or two of them. Some might say it was two men, two blind men. One said it was one. But anyway, that's, the point. As long as we get the essence of what went on and what Jesus did. He healed blind people. He healed a blind man, a blind Bartimaeus. And that was, if you read one account of it, it might have said it was two blind men. But yet he healed them. That's the point. I don't want to miss the point that Jesus, these men, they came to Jesus and And I think they were asking him, you know, to have mercy. One of them was asking the Son of Man, you know, have mercy on me. You know, and Jesus would come to him and ask him, what can I do for you? And he said, I'm blind, I can't see, you know. And so he would touch him and open their eyes of where they could see. And that's what I want to get. I want to get the essence of what was happening and what Jesus did. And I don't want to I like to be able to get it to where I can write it down as well. You know, think about other people that sometimes I think about just getting. I have organized my notes and stuff from different ministers and I have them pretty well together, but you know, I put it in a better form than what I got it in. You know, just some form of message that we've heard over the years. I don't know if you all ever think about stuff like that, but some things are really precious. And so like the other day, Brother Smith was out in Bible study last Sunday. I can't remember the exact subject he was talking about at the time, but at the end of it, Brother Wanning and I was talking to him. He was talking about Enoch. You know, that 11th chapter of Hebrews. And he was talking about, you know, all of the Enoch. The Bible said that God took him. Okay. And then the next, I think in the same verse, it may have said that Enoch didn't see death. Okay. But then, down on in that same chapter said these all died. So, of course, we were talking about it. So Brother Weininger asked Brother Smith to kind of elaborate on that about Enoch. Why didn't he, what did that mean he didn't see death? And he explained to him that, I didn't know I had that on paper. But anyway, I had it written down, you know, the ages of the men, Adam, you know, he lived, 930 years and, different one. Methuselah was 969, but anyway, it was between. I think Methuselah came after Enoch, is that right? But anyway, he lived in between Methuselah and I don't know. It was another man above him, but anyway, it was all living almost 1,000 years. So what he explained that was that Enoch, I think, lived 365, 300 some years. But anyway, what he was showing was that was just like a third of the age of those other men that lived to be almost 1,000 years old. It'd be like me, I'm 60 plus, and if I died at 20, I didn't see that. I was telling Brother McGowan, I was in church here one time, and I was sitting next to this man, and he was having a problem, his leg was hurting. And here I was, young man, 29, I think it was 29 when I came to church, and he was saying, man, my legs are hurt. And I couldn't understand why he was just, he wasn't walking, he wasn't running, he was just sitting in a seat, and his leg was hurt. And I could not comprehend why his leg was hurt. I was telling Brother McGowan, that's been a long time ago, it's been almost 40 years ago, but you know what, I understand why his leg was hurt now, At the time, I couldn't see how could you just be sitting there and your legs hurt, But that's what and I didn't understand that. But I understand it now. And that's what Brother Smith was saying about Enoch. He lived to be 300-something years old, but he didn't see that because he didn't see the things that come up on you before you leave this world. All of the conditions that you face, sickness and disease and all, he didn't see any of that. He died at a young age. So he didn't see that. And that's what I appreciated that, him explaining that to us and to let us know. In this natural life that we live now, of course, our time frame that we live is not near what they live back there. If I even make 90, it'd be, Brother Crow, you made it. But anyway, it'd be I won't say a miracle, but it'd be, I don't even think about it, But anyway, I can see death, okay? That's all my point is. I'm old enough where I can see things that happen to us, happen to me, my body, diseases and different things. I can see that. As some time back, I didn't see it, I didn't see anything, any physical problems, if, towards my physical body, but But anyway, God is good to us, and to allow us to be among people that want to serve Him, and want to serve Him regardless, you know, of the conditions and the things that are going on in this life. I still find this is the best life, to be serving God, to be giving my life, even like someone said, even if there was no heaven to go in, if I was just to live with God's people here on earth, and that was all I had to look forward to. But you know, because I mean, the miseries and the sufferings that go along with people that's out here trying to do their own thing. You know, where they're not trying to serve God or not trying to please anybody but themselves. And when we are trying to work in God's kingdom and learn His ways and the way He operates, and like Brother Jeff pointed out to us, the things that that we're to like Jesus, you know, here He came and a king walking among paupers and not, you know, not really want to do what, I mean, he had a will that he could have yielded to, but he didn't yield to his will. You know, he probably, you know, being a carpenter, I don't know, he might have thought someday I'll build me a big mansion, or, well, he was a carpenter's son. I assume he was a carpenter. Everybody say, well, I don't know, but he was a carpenter. You know, he lived wasn't natural father, but anyway, where his mom and dad, he lived with a carpenter, and he may have had some of those aspirations. You know, he wanted to grow up no telling what he wanted. You know, he might have had some of those ideas, but I don't believe he let them dwell in his mind very long. If he did, he learned quickly. You know, even the recording we got, you know, even at 12 years old, he said that he was to be about his father's business. So we know that at an early age, he recognized that he was here for a different reason, and that he was here to, and I'm not sure, like I say, he had the whole scope of things in his mind when at that age, but he knew that he wasn't here just to do natural things, you know, just to build a natural kingdom. You know, that he was here to do whatever God had for him. And I guess he learned that along the way, some of the things that he found out. You know, I remember Brother Watson used to talk about, you know, they would always go to Jerusalem every year, you know, for the yearly sacrifice. And I don't know at what age Jesus realized that he was going to one day, you know, be the supreme sacrifice. And what he was talking about, and I remember one time he was here, he was saying, you know, I can't remember exactly how he said it, but surely he thought about it, you know, when they would go every year to make their sacrifice, you know, it would cross his mind, you know, that he would be reminded of what he would have to do one of these days, you know, down the road. I don't know, surely he did, you know, think about that. And knowing that, you know, that he was here to do some of those things about that was what God wanted him to do. He probably knew what it was. He probably realized it. I don't know about it at 12 years old, but at some point in time, he probably God may have talked to him personally to tell him, you know, some of the things that he was going to be facing. But anyway, we're serving a Savior that's well acquainted with our natural condition that we live in. There's a script in Isaiah that said that he's, I have trouble thinking about it sometimes, that he was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. I think that's in Isaiah 53 or somewhere. But anyway, I used to think, well, why would he, here a man here that death had no power over him, really. You know, he had power over death, he had power over the grave, everything. You know, but yet he was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. So he didn't do this all his life, but you know, we know when he turned 30, he started a lot of his ministry. You know, like he stopped the funeral procession, raised a man from the dead. But I was thinking, here a man that possessed this kind of power, why would he be a man of sorrow? Why would he be acquainted with grief? But I was thinking also that it could be a lot of his sorrow and grief may have been over mankind, you know. You know, not so much of himself, but he knew what the condition of man. You know, one place in the Bible said he knew what was in man. He knew what our nature is all about. So it could be that some of his sorrow and some of the grief that he was acquainted with was because he knew somewhat, not so much what he was facing, you know, the cross and all that, but he knew what mankind was facing, except that they, you know, except we accept God's plan, you know. If we don't accept God's plan, you know, as human beings, then our destiny is not too good. You know, he might have sorrowed over some of where we're headed to. And I'm thankful today that we do know the Lord. And we do know about the salvation plan. We are acquainted with the gospel of the body of Christ that we've been blessed to receive and hear. And so we are actually without excuse. But I think that might have been some of his sorrows and grief. And as well as us, you know, since we've been blessed, to hear this gospel as we know it, to know that can help. You know, if we carry on what we know and work with God and live accordingly, then we really, like Brother Pryor said today, we shouldn't be in despair. We shouldn't be fretting over the things of this world. If we begin to put the things that we know already to practice in our life, you know, we shouldn't, you know, we read, you know, actually in Psalm 37 that says, fret not because of evildoers. You know, we shouldn't have to get so, you know, shouldn't have to worry and be depressed and over the things in this world, because we know where our redemption lies. We know, you know, we know what we have to do. We know what we have access to. What I'm getting at, and I would read, this is the 73rd Psalm that talks about, I don't know if it's Jesus that's talking here, but anyway, he is talking about him looking at wicked people. You know, they was prospering, seeing the wicked prospering, seeing them, they're not seeming like they're going through any problems and not having any problem. And then it goes on down and said, until he went, till he entered into the sanctuary of God, then he began to see the end of the wicked. He could see that they were in slippery places. You know, I mean, he could see that, look, you may be doing good today, but you just keep living that way. You're not going to always do good. So we know that, and that's what I'm thankful for today, is that for what we know and what God has blessed us with, we should look up. You know, we should keep our head up to God. You know, we should continue on. We should not let these things get us down. You know, we was talking about the world, you know, those songs they were singing about what the world didn't do for us and what the world didn't give me this joy that I have. You know, the world's not going to give us this joy that we have. But we know where it comes from. We know the source. Prior to they was talking about the source of our life. And it's the same source. You know, no matter where you are, if you get connected with the Lord and let his life flow in our hearts, and then these things won't. I don't always think, you know, about the possibilities we have, and then what we have access to it. I'm not always conscious of that. I mean, but when I begin to meditate on the things of God and realize that actually there's nothing hindering us. Nothing can hinder us, really. I mean, if I let something hinder me, it could. But I'm just saying, really, when you begin to think about what we have access to and what we have at our disposal, you know, the help that God has given us. I'm not really, you know, the miracles don't worry me too much, but if I can just get enough of the desire in my heart to want to have enough of the love in my heart that I need to have for God and the things of God, begin to love God and begin to have that kind of relationship with God, then that I can see endless possibilities. You know, begin nothing. You know, I mean, but like I say, I'm not always thinking about that. But when I do, when I begin to think about, you know, how much God has blessed us and how much He has given us, you know, how much we have been given of help to run this race that we're running in. You know, we're not just out here, you know, like Brother Tuck used to tell, a beat in the air. You know, we know where our problems are. We know what it takes to get over our problems. We know what it takes to get us through this race. And we know that. So all we have to do is begin to keep our chin up. You know, keep looking to Jesus. You know, keep Him in the forefront. You know, keep our focus right on the Lord. If we can keep that, it'll carry us. It'll carry us a long ways. And I'm so thankful tonight. I'm just kind of rambling. But anyway, I'm thankful to be here tonight and thankful for what God is doing for us. Good to have Brother James Paul, right? Here again. He was here last Sunday, I believe. Was it Sunday? And good to be here. I might ought to mention, I know Brother Smith, I'm not sure if he, did you say he? Oh, Brother Mike's not here. Brother Mike had to leave. He was here. He had to go take care of something. Anyway, he won't be back tonight, I don't think. So, Brother Stewart. Is sick? Okay, remember Brother Paul Thompson. Somebody was asking about him. I didn't know. Okay. Brother Henry, remember him. He's sick tonight. Remember Sister Elsie and her family. Pray, keep praying for them. And keep, you know, lifting them up in prayer. Brother David Angelo. Anybody else? Sister Brian. That didn't happen. All right. Sometimes it's a lot of trouble. Sister Jess. All right. Remember that. Sister Crow. Okay. All right. Thank you, Sister Crow. Sister Tiffany, she was here today. So remember that need. Sister Lisa, unspoken, all right. All right. Any other requests? Pardon me? All right, Sister Sherry, remember that. All right. Yeah, Brother Paul David, an appointment. I got to leave, had to leave. But anyway, we got a lot of. Did you mention something, Sister Sydney, about Brother David Angelo last? I was thinking somebody made some old comments about his condition. Okay. But anyway, let's remember them and their condition. All right, let's all stand and take these needs to the Lord and pray that God will help His people. Lord, we thank You this night. This opportunity to work in Your kingdom. Lord, we pray that You help. Oh, God. Remember, pray that You help Sister Elsa and her family, Lord. Lift them up, oh, encourage them. Help them, oh, God. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, blessed be Your Holy Name. Jesus. Help each one. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be Your holy name, oh God. Brother David, Lord, help him. Oh God, we pray that You will be done in his life. Merciful Savior, thank You, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Jesus, Jesus.
Brother Tyler was talking about public speaking. You know, when I was in high school, I took a course in public speaking, and a 9-month course. And I remember one time I had a lady instructor. One time I remember she bragged before the whole class on the speech I gave, and I think that's the only time I've ever been given a compliment on a speech. But anyway, I found out I was not born to be a speaker, but you know, you have to admire people that have gifts that you don't have. You have to admire somebody like Brother Smith or a minister that has the gift to get up and talk before the church and keep it interesting and keep it informative. So I admire people that's got talent. To me, you have to look up to people, whether it's somebody that's got musical talent or a beautiful voice to sing, whatever. I feel like you got to look up people that's got talent more than you've got. But anyway, I'm still having problems from time to time sleeping. I wasn't here on Easter Sunday because I was so sleepy, and 2 weeks ago I was here, but I was so sleepy I didn't get much out of the service. So I still have these problems from time to time going to sleep. But thank goodness last Sunday and today I'm wide awake. But I woke up last Sunday morning dreaming about, I woke up about 7:15, I was dreaming about being in church service, and the Spirit was so strong, you know, you couldn't hardly hold it back for an offering. And I woke up again this week dreaming about church service. So that's the best kind of dream you could have, would be dreaming, what bit could be better than dreaming about church service? You know, that's the purest kind of dream to have. But anyway, I heard this man this week talking about the Love Boat. I guess some of you are old enough to remember a TV show back in the 80s called The Love Boat. And I got to thinking, you know, to me this is the Love Boat, because I doubt if there's any church in Little Rock where a person could go and find more love than, I know I was impressed with love the first time I came here. And I believe that that it's because of the covering we have from God and the teaching that brings that covering that we have this this love that we have here. And you know, Jesus said, "You compass land and sea to make one proselyte, and when you've made him, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." And I can't think of anybody that better fits that in our day. I mean, not putting them down, because I admire their courage to go door to door, but that's Jehovah's Witnesses. There's a man that comes by every month or two, and he brings me these magazines. So a week ago Friday, this man came by. He was Jehovah's Witness, and I'd never seen him before. And I always get into him with, I get speaking to him about baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and they always come up with this: you got to have an interpreter. But to my way of understanding, the gift of tongues and speaking in tongues with the baptism of the Holy Spirit are two different things. So I said, you know, I live alone. What if I'm here by myself speaking in tongues? Do I have to have an interpreter? So I don't know if God blinds people or if they blind themselves. But you know, I believe there's probably fewer Jehovah's Witnesses in the body of Christ than any other religious group, because they're just so narrow and determined in their thinking. But anyway, the scripture I've been thinking about lately a lot is where Paul said, "Be ye thankful." And you know, Paul, he wasn't always in the kind of conditions to where he had a lot to be thankful about, but I think he meant to be thankful for the good and the bad. I remember one time Brother Lineker said, a bad day is better than no day, so when you're having a bad day, consider the alternative that it's better than no day. But, you know, I'm thankful for my health. You know, next to the Holy Ghost, God, and church, I can't think of anything more important than health. And so 2 years ago, I could do 30 push-ups, and then all of a sudden, sometime in 2012, all of a sudden, they dramatically went down. I thought, what's happening to me? I kept getting down to 10. Sometimes I couldn't do but 6 or 7. I thought, my goodness, what has happened to me? But it was amazing. But amazingly, these last 2 weeks, I've gone back to doing 30 push-ups after not being able to do 10. So I'm thankful for that strength, you know, for a man my age to have that much strength. And of course, we're living in strange times, and I was watching Fox News this morning, and there was a minister on there, and this was live, and he was being, not a minister, but a school teacher, and he was being interviewed live, and his lawyer was with him, and he was talking about how this was in America, and he got fired because he gave one of his students a copy of the New Testament. So the anchor, the news anchor, he said, well, I reckon he'd have got fired if you'd given him a copy of the Quran. He said, probably not. So, you know, that's just the kind of world we're living in. It seems like everything is turning upside down compared to the way America used to be. I mean, it seems like we're getting farther and farther away from religion. And, you know, I live to learn things, whether it's on CDs or the Bible or books or DVDs, and I recently bought a set of DVDs that 36 30-minute lectures on the skeptics and believers. It's a history of over the centuries of people that attack religion and people that defended religion. And I like to, I'm not going to become an unbeliever, but I like to hear the debates, you know, about why it was that way, and just the history of all this stuff. So that's another thing I'm thankful for, is just getting up every day and being able to learn something and being able to learn something new. And then also I'm very thankful for this group of people, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, you know, I go eat pizza with my neighbor on Monday night. He's blind and 88 years old, and his sister is 91, and she's drives from 6 miles north of Conway, and she's a Baptist, you know. But, you know, here I can just talk on the same language, but I can't talk the same way around them, you know, because they wouldn't understand it. But I did tell his sister one night, I said, you know, I was a Baptist, and I said, you know, I finally learned that they weren't telling the whole story, that there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit was speaking in tongues. And she said, well, I told people years ago, I was once a Baptist, and I'll always be a Baptist. So anyway, it's, you know, it's just a blessing that God, I know Brother Tucker used to say, God's not trying to save every Tom, Dick, and Harry, and he's not trying to save every Troy, Phil, and Brother Wayne. But anyway, thank God he's dealt with us and given this understanding. And I just think, you know, with my neighbors, I think, you know, if only they had an appreciation for what I know, but how blessed I am that God has let me see this. So I thank you and love everybody here.
I'm thankful to be here tonight, and I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that every one of us are willing Some are willing to work, and the rest of us are willing to let them. But I appreciate what Brother Tally was saying there to us a while ago. And, you know, there for a while he had me scared. You know, scared to speak before people, and then I was scared that I wouldn't go back to Brad because I was scared. Many years ago, I read a book by Dale Carnegie, Public Speaking. Had a story in it, and this little boy was supposed to be in a Christmas play, and he had a line, and it was the only line that he had. It said, "It is I, be not afraid." So they all practiced, and come the night of the play, and you know, everybody went through their part, and it come his turn, he stepped out on the stage. He looked that audience over, and every eye was turned on him. He said, "It's me, and I'm scared to death." So, you know, sometimes we fall into that category. But I realize that people are people regardless of where we're at. And last Thursday night, Sister Ann and I were invited to attend a ceremony of two children that she raised from the time they were just real, real small. Two of the triplets, in fact. And these boys are over 6 feet tall, and they've become scouts now in the Boy Scout organization, and we were invited, so we went. And one of the boys got up and spoke. Well, in fact, all the boys spoke, but this one, you could tell he was just nervous and he's scared to death, and he didn't know exactly how to put it. I think he almost looked at it from the standpoint that somebody was going to get up and bite him. It just looked like he was that scared. But I told him later about this little story. I said, "Remember it, because all of us have this. This is almost a common thing that everybody has a little bit of fear when they get up to speak before people." And I know most of you have seen me and learned something about me in the last few years. But years ago, when Sister Ann and I was first kind of seeing each other, this is going to sound strange, I know it is, but I was real, real bashful and backward and shy. Can y'all believe that? I was afraid I'd go run into that. It's unbelievable, isn't it? But Sister Ed will tell you, believe it or not, I was shy, backward. And I kind of run into the same situation Brother Tally did concerning book report one time. I was in high school in senior year. English teacher told us, she announced it before the class, that y'all will have to give a book report, an oral book report. When she said that, my knees went to shaking and I ain't even stood up yet. An oral book report, and it's got to last for 5 minutes. I thought, my God. You know, out on the playground, well, I could talk for more than 5 minutes easy. But when I got in front of people, that's where I had my problems. You know, I was kind of quoting a little deal with Sister Watson a while ago when Brother Tally was talking, you know, about standing up before people. I said, "Your legs turn to rubber, you know, and your tongue grows thick. Your eyes, they water, and you get all choked up. You don't know what to say or how to speak." But in this book report, she did tell us that you can take down your notes any way you want to. I'm not going to tell you how to outline your notes. Just do it how you want to. So I had what I called a friend, and I told him when it came my day to give this book report, I said, "When my 5 minutes is up," I said, "I want you to, you know, kind of wave your hand or, you know, do something to let me know that my 5 minutes is up." okay. Well, I got up and gave the title of the book and author and started into my report. And don't kid me none, because I kept watching for that hand to fly. You know, just, I mean, if he'd have moved a little finger, I'd have spotted it. That's how close I was watching this guy. You know, and I was talking and talking and talking. And I'm thinking, my God, this is the longest 5 minutes of my whole entire life. I'm not sure. Something's wrong, you know. So finally, I mean, I come to the end of the book, and when you get to the end of the book, you can't talk no more. And this guy hadn't waved his hand, so my 5 minutes wasn't up, right? So finally, you know, I just ended the report. I thought, well, if I don't talk 5 minutes, I guess I'll get a failing grade for this deal. So I asked the teacher, I said, if you don't mind, would you tell me how long I talked? Let's see, 19 minutes, 37 seconds. I said, 19 minutes, 37 seconds? What's wrong with you guys? I said, why didn't you say something way back there? You know, yeah, I'm scared to death. I hadn't got my 5 minutes in. 19 minutes, 35 seconds. Woo! I said, why didn't you say something? She said, the reason I didn't say anything was because it was, you made it so interesting, I wanted to see how the book ended. Whew. Needless to say, I had a real hard talk with that buddy of mine that's supposed to wave his hand. I said, it's coming your turn, and I'll wave my finger when it comes till 5 minutes. He said, I'm afraid that I can't depend on you to wave that finger. I said, you're right, you can't. I'm not going to do it. So we've all had some of these experiences. And every one of you, when you stand up, you have a little bit of fear, right? There's a thought that crossed my mind when Brother Talley was speaking concerning not just fear and all the other things he said. And I thought he made a beautiful, beautiful talk to us. And give us some real good pointers. And he kept coming across this statement of serving Jesus, serving the Lord. And for some reason that clicked in my mind on how to serve the Lord. What is your perception of that statement? When somebody tells you to serve the Lord, we want you to serve the Lord. What comes into your mind? What are you thinking? Let me give you some ideas along those lines and see. I'm just going to share some thoughts with you. Back years ago when I first come to this church, I could not play a horn. I didn't know how. Never had the training, never had the opportunity. Our high school band, I was going to join it, but the year that I become eligible to join the high school band, the band leader moved to another city. We didn't have a school band. Didn't have one in it all the way through my high school years, and so I missed that opportunity. But anyway, Brother Tucker got up and was talking one day in service, and I was working on usher duty, sitting back there. He began to say things along the lines of how we really need a band in our church. We need people playing horns. And I broke down and cried. I said, God, would you give me the ability to play a horn? I'll endeavor to play it to bless your people for the rest of my life, if you'll allow me to. And shortly after that, I was given the opportunity to learn to play a horn. I've tried my best to serve the Lord in that capacity from that day to this. I'm not the best player. There's men here that can do a better job than I can, but I'm telling you one thing, there ain't one person here that enjoys playing any more than I do. I enjoy it. I like it. And I can serve the Lord in that capacity. Well, I worked at it. I learned an instrument, and I learned other instruments. And the Lord has let me to work in this field. Then there come a time when he asked us to, and I will say this along this line, that up to this point, I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket with a lid on it. Honestly, I mean, if I carried a tune, you better stick it in there and slap that lid on in a hurry, because I couldn't do it. Well, I started playing, and then Brother Tucker wanted some singing groups. He wanted a group in our church to sing. And he picked out, you know, he called off so-and-so and so-and-so, and he named me. I want you to sing in this singing group. I thought, oh, God. Anyway, they worked with me, and I got to where I could sing. I actually could carry a tune. And I served the Lord in that area. What I'm trying to say is that sometimes we can get the idea to serve the Lord means to be here, just to show up. But if he's given you a talent of any kind, and Brother Fleming, I'd like to give you a compliment. I thought you made one of the best talks tonight you made in a long, long time. Appreciated what he had to say. Enjoyed it. If you can't do anything but testify, and by the way, Brother, these two boys have received the Holy Ghost the other day. I want to compliment them and say that I'm thrilled beyond measure concerning it. Brother Anthony was sitting up here in the band when we was fixing to have band practice. And, you know, we let him know before, when he started playing the horn, that in order to play in the band, he had to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We let him know. Well, he got it last Sunday night, that he got the Holy Ghost. And so I walked over to him. He's sitting over here in the band, you know. I said, I heard you got the Holy Ghost last Sunday night. Yes, sir, I got the Holy Ghost. And he said, and I can play in the band. I said, I'm thrilled to death. And I really am. But I thought, Lord, if we could come to church, back to my original thought, if we could come to church with the idea to use what we have, just use what we have. Don't worry about what we don't have, but use what we have. What kind of service would this service be? You know, I don't have the ability to talk like Brother Smith does. For me to sit there and say, well, I can't talk like Brother Smith, I must have to just sit here and not do nothing. I'm never going to have the ability he has if I just sit there and do nothing. But what if I use what I have? Would it be a blessing to you? If I just use what I have, can I bless you with that? You know? If I just got a bucket of water and I come around and pour a little bit of water in your cup, would that help you? That's the point I'm trying to make. Look, I don't have a whole barrel. I don't have a well. But I do have a bucket full of water. I'd like to pour some into your cup. Let you to feel what we feel. Woo! I'm excited about what God's doing in the earth and that he's allowing me to be a part of it. I'm excited about it. Woo! My Lord. You know, if I could really sing, I'd like to get up and really sing. I haven't sung in so long until I'm a little bit leery about even trying anymore. But I enjoy singing. Let me tell you something. We had a lady in our church back years ago, and she wore her hair, you know, she pulled it back and had what we call, what Bill Tucker called a granny knot in the back of her head. She couldn't carry a tune either. But she got up one night. She said, I know I don't sing, but she said, I just feel this song. And she began to sing it. Oh,
all heaven broke down. It rained in here. Hallelujah. Why? Because she gave vent to the Lord and allowed God to use her. Here some of us said we've got the ability to sing like a robin or like a mockingbird. And we sit here and don't do nothing. Let's don't do that. Let's begin to serve the Lord with everything that we have. With those things that God's planted in our hearts, we can serve God with it. We can serve our generation. And if he chooses not to give me any more, Brother Trump, I tell you right now, I've enjoyed what he has given me. I've enjoyed it. Hallelujah. Woo! Didn't you enjoy those children singing tonight? I see a great, great gift coming into their lives, don't you? Some of you might think, well, my God, they sure didn't, you know, do this or that or the other. But I thought they done great. I thought they done great. What I see in it is I see some of our replacements coming on. Some of us that are singing now. Don't worry about it if you have to go by the wayside. You know, if you have to lay down and rest a little while before the final stages come on. We've got some replacements coming on. Hallelujah. Somebody that'll get up and sing the great songs of Zion that'll cause God to come down among his people and the Spirit of God can move among us. Hallelujah. Woo. I know y'all must not feel what I feel. Y'all not hollering like I am. Had this story told in this church back years ago about a guy. You know, there's two fellas standing in this great big picture window. And he's looking down across his field. Down there about a quarter of a mile away, there's a guy down there. Just doing everything you can possibly do. This one asked the other one, said, why in the world is that guy acting like that? Why is he acting like that? The other one said, if you had a hold of what he's got a hold of, you'd act like that too. He doesn't got a hold of a live or electric wire. He couldn't turn it loose. I think we've got a live electric choir if we'll just get a hold of it and begin to thank God for what he's doing in this day.
Was a man of God called Hezekiah, who grew old in years and time for him to die. With his face turned to the wall, God heard his cry, and he added 15 years to Hezekiah. And he said, my God is able to perform the things which are impossible for man. He's the ever-present help in time of storm. My God is able to perform. Abraham took his son upon the hill, determined in his heart to do God's will. But through the love and mercy of the great I Am, God stayed the hand of Abraham. And he said, my God is able to perform the things which are impossible. Rebel, and he went to the depths of hell.
Help in time of storm. My God is able to perform. And he said, my God is able to perform the things which are impossible with man. He's the ever-present help in time of storm. Are impossible with man. He's the ever-present help in time of storm. My God is able to perform. He's just the same today as he was before. When he healed the sick and raised the dead and more. Now through the valley we lean upon his arm. He's our God and he's able to perform. And I said, my God is able to perform the things which are impossible with man. He's the ever-present help in time of storm. My God is able to perform. And he said, my God is able to perform the things which are impossible with man. He's the ever-present help in time of storm. My God is able to perform. And I said, my God is able to perform things which are impossible with man. He's the ever-present help in time of storm. My God is able to perform. He said, my God is able to perform the things which are impossible with man. He's the ever-present help in time of storm. My God is able to perform. And I said, my God is able to perform the things which are impossible with man. He's the ever-present help in time of storm. My God is able to perform. Jonah was a rebel and he went to the depths of hell. He went to the bottom of the sea in the belly of the whale. He cried out to the Lord, save me from harm. I know you're my God and you're able to perform. And he said, my God is able to perform the things which are impossible with man. He's the ever-present help in time of storm. My God is able to perform. And he said, my God is able to perform the things which are impossible with man. He's the ever-present help in time of storm. My God is able to perform. And he said, my God is able to perform
things which are impossible with man. He's the ever-present help in time of storm. My God is able to perform.
One more time.
My God is able to perform the things which are impossible with man. He's the ever-present help time of storm. My God is able to perform.
Speech. Anyways, I think it's close enough. Almost. With my cell phone, I don't have it with me, so I don't have the time. But it's what it says. Almost. Yes, sir. Come on. You got 10 minutes speech.
No. I just wanted to just stay right here. Anthony and Nathan and I both got the Holy Ghost last weekend, but about 2 weeks before that, at my son's house, they were all sitting around, and Isabel, she's right back there with her daddy, I guess they were talking about the Holy Ghost, and she looked at Anthony and she said, "You better watch out, Bubba, the Holy Ghost is going to get you." It's going to get you, Anthony. So I asked her, she went home with us after church, and I asked her, I said, "You going to get the Holy Ghost?" And she says, "Uh-uh." But it's the kind of thing, we just got to keep preaching it. We got to keep working on it until everybody here that wants it and needs it gets the Holy Ghost. I just wanted to, I'm thankful that my son, my all right, this is a good service, wasn't it? Why don't we stand? Let's thank the Lord. Let's ask God to bring us back safe and to cover us and help us to be a light. I appreciate Sister Crow and Brother Crow always reaching out to people, inviting them to come to church, starting to bear fruit, Sister Crow. Thank God for that. She's been faithful all these years. So let's find somebody to invite to church. There's a lot of people out there that want this. Yeah. Appreciate you working. Yes, she is a nice person. You know, there's a lot of people out there just like her, and just like Brother Vaughn, that God wants to add. He's just been preparing us, and we got to go out. One place the Lord said, I'll make you fishers of men. So let's pray that God would bring somebody along that we can befriend and share this gospel with. Let's thank the Lord and ask him to go with us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. God, for your mercy. Lord, keep your hand on us this week. Lord, make us a light in a dark room, God. Bring us somebody into our life, Lord, that we can tell them about you and about your son. Lord, oh, watch over us and bring us back safe in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.